You're listening to Making Money Online with Lisa Johnson, the podcast that tells you what it really takes to build a business and the simple steps to get you there. I'm determined to share with you the reality of easy, simple business marketing tips to make passive income so that you can start making money online. Hi, and welcome to today's episode where I'm going to be talking about what I do in a strategy day. I'm not talking about like a strategy day that I do for my clients, because that's a little bit different depending on where they are. I'm talking about my own, because lots of people saw on my Instagram stories that I had my own strategy day. We have two a year, me and my operations manager. And I had one last week, and I got so many messages from you guys saying, what do you do in a strategy day? Can you tell me like step by step exactly what you look at? And I can do that. That's something I can easily teach you. I don't think it should be something that people hide or some kind of secret, because we should all be having strategy days. We should all be thinking about our business in a way that we actually think about the strategy rather than just wake up one morning and go, right, what are we going to do today? And lots of people ask, you know, how we got to 4 million this year. And the how is what we do in the strategy days. So let me tell you how we do it. We basically start backwards. So my operations manager, Zoe, and this used to be just me doing it on my own, but now I do it with Zoe because she knows all the numbers and the metrics and the figures, and I don't keep track of those as much as she does. So we'll go into the room and she will say, the first question she will ask me, she will get a flip chart, get a pen, and she'll go, how much do you want to earn in the next year? And it all boils down to that at the end of the day, because that's why you have a strategy day, to work out how you can reach your goals. So I suppose the first thing to say is, if you don't have a goal of how much you want to earn in a year or in a month or in the first quarter, then do that first, like work out how much you want to earn. So we said we would like to earn 4 million, and we've just done this year's, and we've said, how much do you want to earn? And it was a little bit more than that. It wasn't double, but it was a little bit more. And so then we said, okay, so if that's how much we want to earn, let's now go into our services. So everything that we sell, we write down on a big list everything we're already selling. And then we kind of say, well, out of the things we're doing right now, what don't we enjoy? And then everything we don't enjoy, because I really believe that a business should be for you. It should really fit you. You shouldn't ever wake up in the morning and go, oh God, I've got to do that thing. Which I've definitely done before, even in business. I definitely did it in my corporate life, like nearly every day. But in business, I've had that where I've gone, oh, I've got to do a thing. And then somebody said to me, well, why do you do it? Why do you offer it if you don't like doing it? And it's because I think sometimes we feel like we have to, because that's what everyone else does. I remember at the beginning, one-to-ones, everybody did a three-month one-to-one thing where you'd speak to somebody every week. I just did not enjoy doing it. I felt like I could teach these people everything they needed to know in one day. Why was I like dragging it out over 3 months? And so I felt like this is our business. We get to choose. We get to decide when we wake up in the morning what we want to do. So the first thing is to like put a big cross through any of the services that you definitely don't want to do. And we've done that plenty of times. And then we say, with the things that we have already, are there any changes to those services that we need to make? We would spend quite a long time on this, usually a couple of hours. So we'd go through each of the services and kind of go, what isn't as good as it could be for the client in this? So this is exactly how, if any of you have done my one-to-many program, which is like a six-month program on how to make passive income, how that started was people were asking for one-to-many. So in one of these strategy days, I said, right, that's what I'm going to offer. But then in the next strategy day, we looked at all our offerings and we looked at one-to-many and said, okay, what isn't working for the client? And look, quite a lot of the people who were on that program never finished it. And if they don't finish it, then they're not going to get the results. They're not going to implement, they're not going to get the results. So we were like, oh, how can we stop this from happening? We said, well, by the looks of it, we like looked at all the metrics online where they were stopping. And it looked like where people were stopping was the sales funnel part. People didn't like the tech. And they weren't implementing it. And it was making them so frustrated that they weren't going on to the next module. And so we said, well, how can we change this? And so we sat there and we brainstormed loads of ideas. And that's when we came up for, well, actually, how we can change it is we can give them, you know, it's worth us paying a few hundred pounds to give them a bespoke sales funnel just for them so that it moves them forward. And that worked. And that's also how the accountability pods came around, because the next year we had a look and we said, it works. You know, we did what we always do in a strategy day, and we looked at one to many and we say, did it, you know, like what's gone well and what hasn't gone well? And we said, well, the change we made in the last day worked. People are now getting to about module 8 before they stop. They're still not all getting to the end. So we're like, okay, what do you think it could be? And we realized that, you know, when people are doing a program, if they've been doing something for 2 months, you know, everyone gets a bit bored, don't they? Like, even I get a bit bored if I'm doing something for 2 months, and life gets in the way, and it's really hard to stay motivated when you're having to put quite a lot of work in. So we were like, well, what can we do to change that? And that's how we came up with the accountability pods that we now have in One to Many, because it kind of forces people to get to the end. And, you know, we need them to, because we need them to get the results that we've promised them. And then when we went back and said, okay, what's working in One to Many? Everything is. Everybody's getting to the end. Everyone's finishing what they should be doing. People are getting amazing results. And so all these things happen just because of a strategy day. So if we didn't have a strategy day where we sit down and go, what's working and what's not, nothing would ever improve. Nothing would ever get better. It would just always be the same course over and over again. And I really want to make sure, and you should too, with your own services, that you improve them year after year so they become the absolute best out there. So that's what we do. We go through all of our services and go, how do we plug the gap that the client needs to make this even better? It is a balance, though. So you have to kind of realize that it has to work for you too, not just the client. So for instance, in my membership, the GSD Society, we ask always in there, what do you want more of? What would you like from us so that we can make it better for them? But obviously, the main thing that people say is, oh, you know, we would like Lisa to teach us all about passive income. And that's not something we're ever going to give in there, because people are paying £49 a month. And I teach people how to make passive income, like one-to-one or even small groups in my mastermind, which is like 18 to 20,000. So I'm not going to be giving the same amount of things in a mastermind as you would in a membership. So it's all about having a product suite, which is fair to the people paying and how much they're paying, so they get what they are paying for, but also that is fair to you and your time. Your time is your most precious asset. So you need to be like charging for it properly. So make sure there's that balance. If people are asking you for things, see, can I do this? Can I put this in without it affecting another product that I've got? So then when we've gone through all of that, so we'll have sat down, gone through every single thing that we do. What are we not going to have? What are we going to make better? How are we going to make it better? We will then go, okay, so that's our product suite at the moment. What are we adding into it? Do we even need to add anything into it? So for the first 2 years that we did this, I just took things away because I had so many things. I was that person that would go, I know, let's do a new course today. And I would just start offering it that day. I would knock up a sales page and there it would be. And I would start teaching it. But soon I had like 10, 12 things that I was teaching all at the same time, plus one-to-ones, plus the membership. And it was like, God, this is not as passive as I want my life to be. I was starting to work harder and harder. And that isn't what I wanted. I wanted a real streamlined business. And so for the first 2 years, we just took stuff away until last year when we only had 3 main products. We had the membership, we had the mastermind, and we had my main group program, One to Many. Every now and again, I'd do a one-to-one, every now, like twice a month, if that. Every now and again, I would put something else out there that people had been asking for, but there were mainly 3 main things. So then this year, when we sat down, we were like, do we need to add anything in? And we're like, well, yeah, because I'm not doing much. Like, I feel like I'm not working very hard at all. And I definitely have the capacity to add in another program. And so we said, well, what have people been asking us for the most? And because we did 2 launches in the last 8 months, one that made £1.7 million and one that made £2.5 million through affiliate launches, we realized that the thing that people are asking us for the most is, how did you do your affiliate launches? Because we do them very differently from how anybody else is doing them. We've learned from the best out there and we've tweaked it to make it even better. And so that's what people were asking for. And so we said, okay, well, let's add that in. And so then we worked out all of the details of what that's going to look like. What's the offer going to look like? We didn't go into minute detail of what's going to be in each model and that kind of thing. But we're like, how many people do we want on? How many times do we want to offer this? Is it just a once a year thing? How much do you think we'll charge for it? All of those kind of things. What's it going to look like? So we also decided this time to add in some tiny offers. Tiny offers are offers that are like between, I don't know, £7 and £49. And how they work is a bit like a tripwire. I'll talk about tripwires on another episode. But basically our tripwire, which is a little offer we make in our funnel, when people sign up for our freebie, they get the chance to buy an offer from me that is a little course and it's £49. And we pay around £5,000 a month in Facebook ads at the moment. And we get back about £3,000 to £5,000, depending on the month, in that little offer, that tripwire, which is completely passive and I don't have to do anything. And we realized that if we're breaking even on that, what if we added some more smaller offers in that people could buy? That could add a whole new six-figure revenue stream to our business without us having to do anything, because we already have quite a lot of the material that we would need to put these offers out there. So that's what we decided to do. So we looked at like what they would all look like and we added them in. So then we've got a suite of services. We knew what we were going to sell over the next year. So then we looked at the financials. So how many people do we need to sell to in each of those programs to hit that financial goal at the beginning? And we worked all of that out. So we, you know, wrote it all down. And then as soon as we knew that, the question then goes to, okay, now we know what we're going to sell. We know how many people we want to sell it to. How are we going to make sure that we get that many people in each program? And this is where the marketing bit comes in. So then you spend a couple of hours on marketing, like, okay, what's working now? The tripwire is working. Doing the challenge launch is working for one to many. Not doing any launch for the mastermind is working. People are just getting in contact with us and finding us and personal outreach and that kind of thing. So what's working? What's not working? Is the quiz working? What about our lead magnets? What about our funnel? And this is where we've decided to experiment a little bit. So we're going to take out our first five nurture sequence from our emails. I'm just going to take them out. And instead, we are going to send three emails a week from now on with some different content in that we've been wanting to do. One will be a sales email. So a lot of this is about experimenting each time, seeing what worked. If it doesn't work, you go, oh, that didn't work, but maybe let's put the nurture sequence back in. Or, well, that did work. And actually, not so many people left our email list, or more people joined our email list. Those kind of things. You're just always kind of playing around with it, because nobody's business is the same as another person's. So you have to play around and see what works for you and for your people. So we looked at all of the marketing, and the podcast, this podcast that you're listening to now, came from one of these strategy days. So we were like, what are people asking for with marketing? Loads of people had been asking for a podcast. They love my lives, but they wanted to listen on the go, like when they're in the car and that kind of thing. And I put it off for a long period of time because I thought it was going to be like a really big deal, like it's going to be a really big hassle. And actually, it's not at all. And I really enjoy doing it. So we then added that podcast in, which worked. You know, this podcast got to number one in the UK business charts in the first week, and it's still in the top 10 now. So it was totally worth us doing it. And that idea came from one of the strategy sessions. So we'll think of lots of different ways that we want to market things. Well, are we going to want to use video more, for instance? Are we going to put some new content out there? We also look at trends. So what's happening in the market at the moment, from what we've been reading, what we've been looking at, where are the trends going? This is why we did our quiz way before anyone else was doing quizzes, because we could see that in the US, quizzes were becoming more and more popular and people were really growing their email list with them. So we did one very quickly. We got one out there and it's brought in, you know, our email list has gone up to 20,000 from 2,000 in about a year and a half. Because of that quiz. That was because we were looking at trends for the strategy meeting. And that wouldn't have happened if we didn't have a strategy meeting. So then what do we look at next? We look at team. So we're saying, this is what we need to achieve. This is how we need to market to get there. What team do we need to achieve all of that? Where are the gaps in our team now to be able to get there? And where are we seeing that we're falling down a bit and we're not so good? Like, how is the team performing? Are we using their best strengths? So for instance, my sister works for me and she's been doing all of my PA work, which is getting more and more and more because I'm being invited to talk on more things, to do more events, to go on people's podcasts. So she's been like sorting out my calendar and being like an executive assistant. But she's also been doing, since she started, and she's only part-time, all of the social media. So she will hear me say something or do a live, and she will turn it into a social media post or take a couple of snippets of it and turn it into a social media post. And she will deal with all of that on all of the platforms that I'm on, which isn't many, actually. We've got rid of a load, which also happened in a strategy meeting. We're like, which platforms do we not want to be on anymore? Clubhouse, LinkedIn, let's get rid of them. But she's been doing all that. And we realized that there was a gap. We were like, Marie's doing too much work, and her strengths lie in the organizing things for me, not in the social media stuff. And so we said, okay, well, the team member that we're going to need for this year then is a marketing manager. So, you know, what could they do? And we wrote the job description in that strategy day. So there were two other jobs that we realized we needed: a financial manager, and we needed somebody that was always looking at the numbers and how we could best do things, especially for tax and for investing and that kind of thing, because we're doing more of that in the business. And we have a sister property company that we just started. So that was something that we needed. And I was able to offer that position to my best friend from school, who is an accountant. So she's coming on in December. So there were all these different positions. We also decided we needed an operations assistant because we could see some gaps there. So it might feel, when you're like taking on these positions, like, yeah, but these are the positions we're going to need next year. But actually, you need them to get to that point. You need them to grow. So if you wait until you're in a position to, you know, have a team that big, you won't get there, because you need those people to get you there. So always look at the staffing and what's working there. And that might be, at the moment, just you. And do you need a few hours of a PA or a VA or someone technical or someone to do your Facebook ads, if you're even doing Facebook ads? So it's about looking for what you really need. So what do we do then? Once we've worked out all of that, how we're going to make the money, how exactly the structure of what we're going to sell and how we're going to make it and how we're going to market and what staff we're going to need to do it, then we look at the issues in the business. So there's always issues in every business. It could be a problem client. It could be something going on in your mastermind that you can see is going to affect the others, like someone poaching clients from your mastermind or talking badly about you to other people in the mastermind. That's happened to me in the last year. There's lots of little things that can happen. Maybe people aren't paying, for instance. Maybe you have a couple of non-payers in the business. So anything that you see that is an issue that is growing, we then say, okay, how are we going to deal with those issues? And we try and make it procedural. Like I spoke about in the last episode about thinking like a CEO, we try and go, okay, so what procedures do we need to draw up so that this doesn't happen again? So for instance, with the mastermind, it was as simple as onboarding. Next time we will onboard differently, and we will make it very clear what the rules are of the mastermind. We'll make it very clear what you can and can't do, and we will put that in the contract. It's as simple as that. But sometimes if you don't sit there and actually work out what the issues are, then you can't find a way to make sure those issues aren't there still next time. This is also the bit where the only time I get to have a rant about the things that are going wrong. We all need a rant. Let's not pretend like a Mrs. Perfect CEO that sits there and goes, oh, well, these are just some problems that we can fix, and this is how we're going to fix them. Sometimes it's the only chance to go, this bit is a nightmare and we need to get rid of it. This person is doing this, this, and this. And because it's a closed environment with just my ops manager, it's the only time I feel like I can really say it like it is and not be as professional as I would be with the wider team. It also helps me not put stuff on social media, because it's like, the world doesn't need to know. I can just tell my ops manager. So it makes me feel better. So we do that. We deal with all the issues. Then we talk about launches that we've had, and we do a whole debrief on the launches. And the reason we do this is to see what we would do differently if we launched again. What worked, what didn't work, what our conversion rates were, which are really important. Because if you know what your conversion rate is, let me just explain in case you don't know what a conversion rate is. Conversion rate is how many people in something then did something else. So how many people in my Facebook group signed up to my challenge? How many people in my challenge went to the sales page? How many people that looked at the sales page bought the course? Once you know all those numbers, you can work backwards for next time and go, well, my conversion rate is, I don't know, 10%. So if I want XX number of people to buy my product, I need this many people in the challenge, this many people in the Facebook group or on my email list at the start. And you can work backwards and engineer it, which is good, because then you're forecasting and things aren't quite so just hope, you know, like crossing your fingers and hoping that something will happen. You can actually engineer it that way. So we'll go through all the launches and what we're going to do differently, what the conversion rate was. Was it higher than last time, especially with our affiliates? Because now we use affiliates on one of our launches. What were their conversion rates? Who do we want to use next time? Who don't we want to use next time? Were there any problems with the affiliates? Did any of them make us have to work harder because they were hassle? You know, like we look at everything because that's how you make decisions. Then when we've sorted what we're going to sell to how many people, what the conversion rates are, how we're going to launch, how we're going to market it, then we look at when. So we map it all out on a big calendar. So we go, what's going to go there? What we're going to sell in January? Like usually we do one thing per quarter. Like when is our big launch going to be of one to many? Because that's every year. So this year we did it in June and we realized that actually going over the summer holidays for delivery isn't the smartest move. So next time it will be in March. So, you know, that decision has been made because we chatted about how we're finding things and are we finding things more difficult trying to fit things in and people not turning up because they're on summer holidays and that kind of thing. So, you know, we'll map everything out, especially if people have asked us to be an affiliate, then we have to take into consideration when we're launching for those people as well. We don't have any affiliate launches planned at the moment, so we didn't have to put them in. But, you know, you map out when everything is so that you're not just making up as you go along. You know exactly what you're going to be selling. Because if you know that the next thing you're selling is, for instance, a business basics course, then you know that all of your content in Q1 leading up to the selling of that course should be about the problems of starting a business and the business basics. Whereas if you know your next course is going to be about PR, then you know to talk about that. So it helps with all of your content when you know exactly when you're going to sell things. And then if we have time, we go into detail on the next launch, like how we're going to launch. Are we going to do a challenge? Are we going to do a summit? But normally by then, me and Zoe have turned into people that just want to chat about life and gossip with each other. And the first time we did it, I got bored after about 3 hours and said, can we just go and have lunch at the Shard? And Zoe said, you're never doing this to me again. I get one whole day with you. Next time we are going to sit there until everything's done. And now we do, and we're really good, and we just get everything done. And then 6 months later, we'll have another strategy day. And we will say, are we still on track for where we want to be? Does anything, any little things need to change on the way there? Has anything changed in life? For instance, I got 2 book deals recently because my podcast went to 1. People heard it. Some commissioning editors for some of the biggest publishers in the UK heard it and got in touch with me and wanted me to write a book with them. And that wasn't part of the plan. You know, that wasn't something I thought I was going to have to sit down and do for a year. So we had to then meet up and go, okay, this has happened and it's too good an opportunity not to do. What do we need to take out? What do we need to change? So yeah, lots of things can change when you have a strategy day. But you can imagine if you don't have this day, you're just winging it. You haven't even got goals. You're just hoping that you get there. You need a day, even if you're on your own, to sit down and map out your year and map everything out. I hope that's helped. You see what we do in one of those days. We do strategy days for other people. So Zoe and I, you can hire me and Zoe. We do 2 a month where we take you to a nice hotel or a nice space and we spend 6 hours mapping out your strategy for the next year and how you're going to launch and the things that you're going to do and your entire business model. And then Zoe sends you a big mapped out plan for you to go ahead and then go and implement it. So we do that for other people. But when we do our own, we follow the same kind of thing, really. Sometimes when we do it for other people, they might be at different stages to us. So we might not have to do certain things like talk about staffing if they don't have as many people working for them. Or they might only be doing like 2 launches. So we'll spend more time on that. But there's all sorts of stuff that you can do in a strategy day. So do please do them. Okay. I hope that was interesting for you. And I will be back soon to talk about more ways that you can start making money online in your business. Thank you for listening to Making Money Online with Lisa Johnson. If you'd like to get hold of my guide to launching, go to lisajohnson.com/launch and let's get you making money online.